of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Back in the 1950s, a musician by the name of Sonny Curtis wrote and recorded the very popular song, I Fought the Law. Do any of you remember that song? Oh, good. Well, this is actually a very popular song. It's been re-recorded and re-recorded and re-recorded and performed by many, many other musicians and bands over the years. Now, the reason I even mentioned the song I Fought the Law is that I want to read for you some of the lyrics from that song. Here they are. Breaking rocks in the hot sun, I fought the law and the law won. I needed money because I had none. I fought the law and the law won. Robbing people with a six gun. I fought the law and the law won. I miss my baby and I miss my fun. I fought the law and the law won. These lyrics tell us about a guy who's breaking rocks in the hot sun. Now, why is he doing that? Well, because he's in prison. And why is he in prison? Because he broke the law. You see, he thought he could break the law and get away with it, but the law won. When I hear that song, I Fought the Law, I think of today's scripture reading from Romans chapter 7. You see, apart from Christ, we sinners are doomed to fight against God's law. But the problem is that the law will always win. In fact, our breaking of God's law lands us in a prison far worse than any prison on this earth. Now, there are two ways that we sinners try to fight against God's law. The first way we fight against God's law is when we willingly rebel against it and foolishly think we can get away with it. However, the second way that we fight against God's law is when we foolishly think that we have obeyed it well enough to avoid God's wrath and eternity in hell. Now, even though we're all guilty of the first kind of fighting against God's law, I believe the second kind of fighting against God's law is far more common in our culture, even among some Christians who ought to know better. For example, the devil loves to tempt us to look at people who do sinful things. Maybe some of these people are even in prison. And then the devil tempts us to look at them and say, well, there are the real sinners. There are the real lawbreakers. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that. Oh, yeah, I mess up here and there, but all in all, I'm a really good person. So I don't have to worry about God's wrath. I don't have to worry about hell. Now, according to the Bible, those who foolishly think they have obeyed God's law well enough to avoid God's wrath, they're actually fighting against God's law. And why is that? Because the purpose of God's law is to show us sinners that we really are sinners. And if we refuse to believe what the law says about our sin, then we're actually fighting against God's law. Listen to what Paul writes in today's reading. He says, I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. In order that sin might be recognized as sin, the law produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. In fact, if you recall, Paul said the same thing back in Romans chapter 3. Listen to what he says there. He says, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. In fact, that's what Paul means in today's reading when he says, apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. Now, Paul is saying that people who don't know about the Ten Commandments or who don't understand them properly, they live under the delusion that they are basically good people. But when they are confronted by the pure holiness required by God's law, then their self-righteousness dies, and they finally realize that they are doomed sinners like everybody else. So, we not only fight against God's law when we openly and willingly rebel against it, we also fight against God's law when we foolishly think that we have obeyed it well enough to avoid God's wrath. But whether we're fighting against God's law in the first way or the second way, the law will always win. The law will say to us, not only have you sinned against God by the evil things that you've done, you've also sinned against God's law by the many good things that you failed to do. And on top of that, God also condemns your sinful words, your sinful thoughts, and your sinful desires. And as for all those good works that you're so proud of, well, let's admit it, you often do them for selfish and self-centered reasons. Or you might do them as a way to make up for some of your sins. I'm sorry, but you're a sinner like everyone else, and you deserve nothing but God's wrath. That's the message of the law. And the law always wins. Do you know what that means? If God's law is the only word he speaks to us, then we're doomed to spend eternity in a prison called hell. But now for the awesome good news. The good news is that God speaks another word to us, and this new word is Jesus. Listen again to this part of today's reading. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now, there is a lot of important teaching here, so please pay close attention as I carefully explain to you what this means. First, if you recall, Paul begins our reading today by using the analogy of marriage. And God's law teaches that marriage is between one man and one woman. So if you marry another person while you're still married to your first spouse, you're obviously guilty of adultery, not to mention bigamy. But if your spouse dies, well then you're free to marry someone else in good conscience. So what's Paul's point? His point is that a death has occurred in your life as a Christian. And the result is that you no longer belong to the devil. Instead, you belong to someone else. You belong to Christ. But what death is Paul talking about in your life? Paul is talking about dying to a life of sin and living for God. The question is, where and when did you experience that death? Well, we experienced that death and that resurrection when we were baptized. Listen to what Paul writes about this at the beginning of Romans chapter 6, which is part of the wider context for our reading. He says, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now what's Paul's point? Well, first he talks about the death of Christ, which is how Jesus dealt with our sin. He took your sin and my sin, and he suffered the punishment and the damnation we deserve. Secondly, Paul mentions Jesus' resurrection. Jesus conquered death when he rose from the grave, and it's through that victory that we also have hope in the face of death. And how does baptism fit into this? Well, the death and resurrection of Jesus does you no good unless it's applied to you personally. And one of the ways God does that is in the waters of holy baptism. In baptism, we are joined to the victorious death and resurrection of Jesus. So now, we live a new life. What is this new life that God gave you in your baptism? Well, listen again to Paul's words from today's reading. He says, we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. What does that mean? Well, now we're ready to consider today's sermon title. Simply put, Paul is talking about the difference between a got-to life versus a get-to life. Now, what's the got-to life? The got-to life is a life lived under the law. The got-to life assumes that if God's going to love us at all, we have to be worthy. We've got to do enough good things to deserve his blessing. There's a problem with the got-to life, however. It's a life of unbelief. You see, the got-to life means that you don't trust in Jesus for salvation. Instead, you trust in yourself. But you see, in order to be saved under the law, you have to keep it perfectly. So that means that those who live the got-to life are doomed to constantly fight against God's law. They either have to ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist, or they have to foolishly delude themselves into thinking that they've actually kept it. But either way, you lose and the law always wins. And so the got-to life is a life without hope. But my friends, you who have been baptized, you who trust in Jesus for salvation, you've been set free from the got-to life so that you can live the get-to life. So what is this get-to life that you get to live? Well, the get-to life means that God no longer condemns you. The law no longer wins. You are no longer in danger of God's wrath. That means you don't have to fight against God's law anymore. Why? Because Jesus fought the law and he won. How did Jesus win? He kept the law perfectly. He's the only one who did. And he credits his perfect obedience to you. So in Jesus, the law no longer condemns you. When God looks at you, he doesn't see all the ways that you've fallen short of God's law. Instead, when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. So do you know what that means? You are free to live the get-to life. Paul says, we have been released from the law. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. To be released from the law does not mean, oh, now that I'm forgiven, I can go out and sin all I want and live as I please. Believe it or not, there's actually some churches that teach that that's what Paul means here. There's some churches that say, hey, if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments anymore. You can live as you please. Well, that's not what Paul means when he says that we've been released from the law. So what does he mean? What he means is that we are no longer under the bondage of a got-to life. We're no longer living under the fear of, I better keep the law well enough to be saved, and of course we never can. In other words, we're released from a life where we're constantly under the condemnation of God's law. So now that you're saved from God's law, Paul goes on to explain that you get to look at the law in a whole new way. You see, the law of God was never meant to condemn us. In the beginning, before sin entered the world, the law of God was his blueprint for a perfect human life. And of course, without sin, we would have lived that perfect life. So the law in the beginning was God's way of saying, this is what it means to be a human being. This is what it means to live as one of my children. This is how you get to live. This is how I've created you to be. But of course, once sin entered the world, everything changed. This law that used to be simply a description of who we were in the beginning, this law now showed us that we were in rebellion against God because we're not living the kind of life he called us to live in the beginning. But now that you've been saved by Jesus, now that you are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can now, as Christians, view the law as God intended it to be in the beginning. In other words, we don't got to keep God's law to make him love us. Instead, we get to keep God's law because his law is his loving plan for our lives as his dearly loved children. Of course, that leads to one other thing that I want to leave you with. And I especially want to make this point if some of you aren't able to make it here next Sunday. You see, after Paul says that we have the joy of living the get-to life, after Paul says that we've been released from the condemnation of God's law and now are able to live God's law in freedom because we realize it's a gift, it's God's way of telling us how we were meant to live as human beings. Once he says that, he goes on in Romans chapter 7 to point out that even though we Christians really do want to obey God's law in response to his love for us, the fact is we continue to struggle with our sinful nature. So let me briefly sum up how that relates to our lives as Christians. You see, as baptized and forgiven children of God, we really do want to obey him. As people of God who trust in Jesus, you really do want to avoid sin. You really do want to live in obedience to God's law because you know his will for you is what is best. However, there's another part of you. I have that part too. It's our sinful nature. And that sinful nature constantly wants to live the got-to life. And this is very frustrating for us Christians because we don't really want to sin. And we do really want to obey God's law. And so when we do sin, when we do fail to do the good we ought to do, we feel very discouraged and very frustrated. Well, the good news I have for you, my friends, is this. The good news is that in Christ, you are always completely and totally forgiven, even as you continue to struggle with your sinful desires and words and deeds. You see, Jesus doesn't save you by grace and then say, okay, you're saved by grace, but now from now on, you have to live according to the law and be worthy. No, that's not what he says. When you're saved by grace from beginning to end. That's what it means to be released from the law. We are now God's holy and dearly loved children through Christ and through Christ alone. And so as you continue to struggle with your sinful nature, you can rejoice in the fact that when Jesus died for your sins, he did not only die for your past sins, but also your present and even your future sins. You know what that means? You can go to Jesus every moment of every day with the burden of your sin, and he will say to you, you are already forgiven. Follow me. So my friends, if you want to hear more good news about the comfort we have in Christ, even as we continue to struggle with sin, then be sure to come here next Sunday. But for now, I want you to leave this place knowing that because of Jesus and all that he's done for you, you have been set free from the got-to life, and you're now free to live the get-to life. Amen. Now may the peace of God which passes all our understanding. Guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.